right now on VFN TV, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, comes to America, to the White House, to meet with President Donald Trump and speaks at AIPAC, the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee. It's just an exciting program, including something awesome about the Golan Heights right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu comes to America and speaks right now, speaking at the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee. We call them AIPAC. It's so encouraging. I'm Greg Lancaster. Of course, with me is John Ramos. And we get a chance to see firsthand the speech that followed his visit in America when he came. But first, before you see his visit, we want to hear what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who was the leader, basically, of the world during the previous administration, because everybody seemed to have lost their mind in regards to God, regards to family, in regards to the Constitution, regards to Israel. But he held the line.
He held the line.
And he came to Congress. That was just amazing.
But the first, line of Israel, right?
Yeah. We're at the point why Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaking at AIPAC, understand that Israel was under attack in Gaza, but he stood fast and he spoke and spoke boldly about truth and America's relationship with Israel. It's very encouraging. Let's join now Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at AIPAC.
Good morning, AIPAC. Unfortunately, I'm not able to be with you in person because I returned to deal with the security situation in Israel after that criminal rocket attack from Gaza on our territory. We responded with great force. In the last 24 hours, the IDF destroyed major Hamas terrorist installations on a scale not seen since the end of the military operation in Gaza 4 years ago. Now, I'm just coming from a meeting with our chief of staff and our senior command, and I can tell you, we are prepared to do a lot more. We will do what is necessary to defend our people and to defend our state. In the midst of these events, I wanted to speak to you today and say two words. Thank you. Thank you, AIPAC. Thank you for bringing together 18,000 proud Americans and more than 4,000 American students who stand with Israel. Thank you. Thank you for working year after year, decade after decade, to strengthen the remarkable alliance between our two countries. And I can tell you, that alliance has never been stronger. Thank you for working to strengthen support for Israel on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans alike. That is how it's always been, and that's how it should always be. Yesterday at the White House, President Trump again made history. He formally recognized Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Now that deserves enormous applause. The Golan Heights is indispensable for our defense. It's part of our history. When you put a shovel in the ground there, what you discover are the ruins of ancient synagogues. Jews lived there for thousands of years, and the people of Israel have come back to the Golan. Israel holds the high ground, and we shall never, ever give it up. It's part of Israel. So on behalf of all the people of Israel, thank you, President Trump, and thank you for all the historic decisions you have made. I'm sure you remember that in 2015, I went to the American Congress. I spoke out against the disastrous nuclear deal with Iran. In 2018, President Trump walked out of that bad deal. He restored American sanctions against the genocidal regime in Tehran that vows to destroy the one and only Jewish state. He recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital. He moved the American embassy there. He put a great ambassador there, Ambassador David Friedman. You just heard him. And with Ambassador Ron Dermer, Israel and the United States have two of the greatest ambassadors on earth. Thank you, ambassadors. Thank you, President Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, in recent weeks, we've heard a lot about the rise of forces who want to pull America and Israel apart. So I can tell you one thing. I guarantee this. They will fail. They will fail. Our shared values are too deep. Our shared interests too strong. Our shared destiny too intertwined. But having said that, I will also tell you, we must never take anything for granted. Those who seek to defame this great organization, AIPAC, those who seek to undermine American support for Israel, they must be confronted. Despite what they claim, they do not merely criticize the policies of Israel's government. God, I'm used to that. That happens every 5 minutes. They do something else. They spew venom that has long been directed at the Jewish people. Again, the Jews are cast as a force for evil. Again, the Jews are charged with disloyalty. Again, the Jews are said to have too much influence, too much power, too much money. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what the best way to respond to this kind of hatred is? We read it. We heard it just a few days ago in the book of Esther when Mordechai confronted Haman of Persia. The best way to respond to those who spout this kind of hatred is not to bow down to them, it's to stand up to them. So I have a message to all the anti-Semites out there, whether they live in modern Persia, in the palaces of Tehran, or the bunkers of Beirut, whether they march through the streets of Charlottesville or murder worshippers in a synagogue in Pittsburgh, whether they voice their hatred in political parties in Britain or Europe or the United States. The Jewish people do not bow down. We stand up, we fight, and we win. My friends, ladies and gentlemen, some people will just never get it. They'll never understand why the vast majority of Americans, Jews and non-Jews alike, support Israel. Take it from this Benjamin, it's not about the Benjamins. The reason the people of America support Israel is not because they want our money, it's because they share our values. They just don't get it. It's because America and Israel share a love of freedom and democracy. It's because we cherish individual rights and the rule of law. It's because we don't judge people by the color of their skin, their religion, or their sexual orientation. I'm proud of Israel's vibrant democracy, where no one is a second-class citizen. All of Israel's citizens are first-class citizens. All of Israel's citizens, whether Jew or Arab, Muslim, Christian, or Jews, have exactly the same individual rights. We vote in the same elections, we're subject to the same laws, we study in the same universities, and we are also treated in the same hospitals. But Israel is also the one and only country on earth in which the Jewish people exercise our collective right of self-determination. And that right is expressed in the Star of David, our flag, anthem, in Hebrew, our official language, and most powerfully, in the right of every Jew across the world to automatically immigrate to Israel and become a citizen if they choose to do so. It is these features of our collective existence that the nation-state bill enshrined into a historic constitutional law. And contrary to the false attacks and allegations, it did not denigrate any individual rights, which remain sacred and equal for all our citizens. And it will always be that way. Israel will always be a democracy, just as Israel will always be the Jewish state, a place where all Jews anywhere can always call home, no matter how they pray or how they wish to conduct their lives. Israel is the home of all Jews. That is why we all celebrate today the democratic Jewish state of Israel. We know the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, the Jewish state that Herzl envisioned, the Jewish state that Ben-Gurion proclaimed, is the same Jewish state whose future I am working to secure. I hope the people of Israel continue to allow me to lead them for many years to come. And I'm as confident as ever that as Israel takes its rightful place among the nations, you will be there by our side. You've always been there by our side. America will be there by our side. Thank you, AIPAC. Thank you all for standing with Israel. May God bless you. May God bless America. And may God bless our trade alliance. Thank you all.
So awesome. That's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at AIPAC. It wasn't your TV. That's a live straight from Jerusalem. So wow. Exciting to be able to see that. Listen, comment below. I want to hear your thoughts. This is so important. Understand that when Jesus returns, and he will, his feet are going to land in Jerusalem, right there on the Mount of Olives.
Yes.
Mount of Olives.
Yes.
Going to come down and it's going to split and he's going to walk into the Eastern Gate. This is like prime holy God real estate. Because he's going to set up his kingdom there and he'll rule the earth from there. I mean, this is so huge. And guess what? President Donald Trump declares that this is God's people forever. Jerusalem is a capital of Israel forever. And standing, as a matter of fact, we get back from this break. John, comment below.
Yes.
We want to hear your thoughts on that. Think about what we're talking about. Write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. And don't forget to go to iTunes and rate our podcast. When you do that, it goes all around the world. And by the way, we'll give a chance to get a shout out to some of you guys that do that. John, what's next?
When we get back from this break, we're going to go straight to the White House, the Oval Office, where Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with President Trump. And this meeting was amazing because they discussed some wonderful things, including Golan Heights. You don't want to miss it. Join us. We'll get right back.
Big League.
We'll be right back.
I want to talk to you about our book. My book is out and it's ready for you right now. I Will Fight, 10 Strategies to Fight for Your Success. Listen, so many people in the world understand if you're going to be successful, you got to fight for it. And many people who are believers and Christians think that just success falls out of the sky. But God has created the earth to respond to your labor. He's created the universe to respond to you believing in faith what he's going to do. So I share in this book very specifically about biblical fights that have happened, but also got 10 specific strategies to be able to help you. I don't care if you're a CEO, I don't care if you're a congressperson or a senator, I don't care if you're a janitor, a business owner, a teacher, a pastor. If anybody knows needs to know how to fight, pastors need to know how to fight for success and define, you know, what success is. But I talk specifically, and I begin in this book, is about how God spoke to me and why am I writing the book. God showed me specifically in a dream, a prophetic dream, several dreams, but one was that he has a wealth transfer coming and he wants to deliver wealth to his people, but they don't have the character and the integrity to be able to manage that wealth. He told me that he's been getting a lot of money and wealth to them, but it goes right through their fingers like holes in a bowl. So they have to learn how to be able to develop strategies, biblical strategies to be able to be positioned. Why? Because a great harvest of souls is coming and it's gonna take many, many dollars to be able to bring in that harvest. And it's gonna be God's people who will fund that. And so he's looking for people that are willing to say, I want to be positioned. This is all about being positioned for great wealth. And it's not necessarily great wealth in money. It could be great wealth and influence, whatever God has entrusted you with. So it's a free book. You just cover shipping and handling. We want to send it to you for free. And you can go to vfnkb.com for all the details. You can see it on your screen. But listen, it's here. It's right here for you. Wonderful thing. Oh my, how many nuggets? Maybe 500, 600 yeah. wisdom nuggets in addition to these success strategies. It's yours now at vfnkb.com.
As I've gone through this maturation in Christ and in my ministry, drawing closer to my father's legacy, I've come to understand that I have a profound responsibility to carry the next phase of that, but I don't.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu comes to the White House. He's welcomed by President Trump. As a matter of fact, they get a chance to sit down in the Oval Office to take a few moments to share with us and each other. It's very powerful. Let's join him in the White House now.
Well, thank you very much. It's an honor to have Prime Minister Netanyahu in the Oval Office. We've had numerous great meetings, and we talk usually about trade and military and lots of things, but today I think we're talking about more than anything else. We're celebrating the Golan Heights. It's something that I've been hearing about for many years from many people. I've been studying for years, and this should have been done, I would say, numerous presidents ago. But for some reason, they didn't do it, and I'm very honored to have done it. So I just want to say, Bibi, it's an honor to have you at the Oval Office. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. May I say that I've been here many, many, many times. So I've been around.
You have.
And I've met many friends of Israel in this office, but as I said in the other room just now, in a day of history, we have never had a greater friend than President Trump. And I think there is a unique bond between our countries, between our administrations, between the two of us. There has been no greater bond than that. It serves the interests of Israel in ways that I cannot begin to describe, because not everything that the President and I talk about can be shared with the public. And I think that in many ways, the President knows and the United States knows that America has no better friend than Israel. We are willing to fight for our common values. We're willing to fight. You have an ally that is willing to take our arms in defense of liberty, in defense of our land, our people, and our common values. We admire America, and we're grateful to you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
That's so powerful. You know, when Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was speaking with to President Trump first, when they were beginning to have the public address, the press conference, the first thing he did, he went over to shake President Trump's hand, and they found out, I believe, just that moment, that Hamas in Gaza was shooting missiles into Israel and harming the people of Israel and just constant bombardment of just evil. But he reached up and he kissed President Trump on his right cheek after shaking his hand.
Wow.
And there's just such a friendship between America and Israel that was so not there, you know, just in the last administration. Yes, it sure was. Go ahead.
Well, it seemed to be a good relationship started with Harry Truman, President Harry Truman, who recognized Israel as a Jewish state. And it's built, but
He compared him to Cyrus the Great. He compared him to Lord Balfour.
Yep.
He compared him to President Truman. And then twice for President Trump. Once was making Jerusalem, acknowledging Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and moving the embassy there. And now the Golan Heights.
That's just amazing.
Oh, it's just amazing. And of course, you want to put this up right here. He says, it's reiterating what he said is we have never had a greater friend, right? And what he said, never had a greater friend than the President Trump. Isn't that exciting?
That's awesome.
It really
is.
That
is awesome.
And in God's eyes,
that's huge. Because those who bless Israel will be blessed.
That's huge. But you think about this, you know, we're going to talk about Hamas just right now. Mm-hmm. We want to hear your comments below. Comment, write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. But Proverbs 2:21-22 talks about, very specifically, about people who take this stance against God to do evil. What does it say?
For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. We're talking about the Golan Heights. You know, the Golan Heights was won, I believe, in the 1950s in the war with Syria, And Israel won that.
It's literally like not having your head, somebody else having that part of your body.
I've been there. You can stand from the Golan Heights and you could actually look all the way through to Israel. Right. I mean, you can launch anything in there.
Right. And so they officially have been recognized to get it back. It was theirs all along. As a matter of fact, there's a lot more land that's actually theirs.
They better get used to it.
Yeah. Pastor John Kilpatrick talked about the coming land grab, which is spoke about, I believe, in a specific book. But I know this. I know that we want to get to understand Hamas. Hamas is CAIR in America, CAIR, has historically taken to court and were tied in with Hamas, almost like a fundraising arm of Hamas, kind of like the PR people to be able to raise money for Hamas. Hamas is a government that says specifically one of their primary goals and their charter is to be able to eliminate Israel, I believe, and push them in the sea, or just to do it with Israel.
Newly elected government, for the Gaza Strip, because they were just like the bully arm of Iran, I believe, right? That was like the mob henchmen, if you will, because they did so much terrorist activities towards Israel.
Yeah, in regards to, I don't know if Iran was supporting and sending the missiles and all that, but in regards to just not good. Not good, and they hate not the people of Gaza Strip, but the government. There's two different things going on there. A government that oppresses the people, doesn't transfer the wealth down to the people, but it comes in and is financed from other people to be able to come against Israel. They're kind of like a cancerous thing there within the body of the land there. But the question is, let's just find out, what is Hamas? Let's find out a little bit about that as we watch. I believe this is PragerU.
No, this is actually from IDF, Israeli Defense Force.
Awesome. Really good then.
Yes.
Take a look.
As the ruling government in Gaza, it's Hamas's duty to take care of the citizens of Gaza. In the last 10 years that Hamas has been in power in the Gaza Strip, they've made a few key improvements. The first is the economy. 67% of Hamas's entire Gaza budget is spent on the military wing of the organization. Since 2014, Hamas has spent more than $120 million on terror tunnels. This was money that Hamas could have used for civilian purposes to improve life in Gaza. Instead, the money is going to terror. This leads us to improvement number two, infrastructure. Hamas has been hard at work investing large amounts of resources into building the terror tunnel network under the Gaza Strip. To build this network, Hamas has been using construction material, cement, and other valuable resources that could have gone to build schools, homes, businesses, and mosques. Hamas has built these tunnels to infiltrate Israeli communities. This brings us to area number three, suppression. Hamas is not a big fan of freedom of speech or expression and actively quashes dissent. Hamas monitors posts, articles, and tweets written by Palestinians and arrests and tortures critics. Hamas's political rivals are subject to torture and often, after confessing, are publicly executed. With developments like these, it's clear that Hamas is doing everything possible to make the Gaza Strip an open and free society for all of its citizens. Or are they?
So important when you think about it that I think about the son of Hamas, the Green Prince. You got to see that movie. You can find, as a matter of fact, we're going to make related material for you right here on VFNKB, The Torch, to be able to find out more about that. But you got to understand
the
son of one of the head leaders, he's known as the Green Prince, that he was won over. He's now a Christian, but he was won over by the Jewish people, treated so well. He didn't understand that, they're not evil like Hamas said they were, his dad said they were.
Yeah.
And he basically now speaks truth bolder than anybody, I think, in the face of the earth. It's amazing.
Amazing.
And so we have a lot about him at VFNKB.com on The Torch. But you got to see firsthand what they're doing when they're shooting these missiles into Israel. Israel's, it could, 60 miles, it's about 60 miles at its widest point. That's how big, small it is. You could fit it into what?
New Jersey.
It could fit into New Jersey and a lot of room left over.
Oh, yeah.
It's just small. So now you imagine having missiles coming into something so small. And they're coming and landing on your home or your neighbor's home. As a matter of fact, let's just take a look at what it looks like when your homes are being bombarded by rockets from Hamas.
Thank you.
a tragedy. Let's hear firsthand from the people that are experiencing these very attacks. There are people being protected that we need to protect there. Let's go there now.
We have
lives here.
We have homes here. We raise children.
We go to school.
We play with friends.
We are the mothers.
We are the fathers.
And the children.
Living near Gaza.
It's time our story was told.
We are the ones that hear,
feel,
and see the violence from the riots.
It's our backyard that they burn with flaming kites.
It's our homes they wish to destroy with rockets.
It's our families they want to hurt with grenades.
I want to walk with my three children without worrying which one to grab first to run from a rocket.
I want to spend time with my grandmother without worrying how to take her wheelchair into the bomb shelter.
I wish I didn't know the sound of a siren.
I wish I didn't know the smell of burning fields.
I wish I didn't know the sound of exploding shrapnel.
But we do.
We do.
We do.
And yet, we still have hope.
I hope that one day a balloon will just be a balloon.
That when I see a kite, I smile.
And that the sounds in the air are just the sounds of nature.
We are the mothers.
The fathers.
The teachers.
The farmers.
The students.
And the children.
Living near Gaza. And we deserve to live.
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 We all deserve to live.
If you were talking to them right now, what would you say to them? What would you say to the teacher, to the son? Comment below, share your comments. What would you say to them? And what would you say to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for his stand and President Trump for his stand? It's an amazing day. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, we just thank you for those that are watching right now, those that are listening, God, that you would bless them, that you would encourage them, that you would heal them. Lord, we pray protection over Israel, Jerusalem, Lord God, strengthen them, God, in this difficult time. Be with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his family during this election coming up, God. Favor, God. And dear Lord, we ask you, God, end abortion. Send revival. Send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. God bless. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.